Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Every now and then we wonder and we worry. The World Bank has now approved a 7.6 billion rand loan to South Africa. That's 454.4 million euros, and that is for the country's COVID-19 emergency response project. Joining us this morning is Daniel Eloff. He's a writer, lecturer and attorney at Hunter Spitz. Good morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure, Howard. Lovely to be here.
Nice to chat to you. So I don't understand really how this works. We dish out money to Cuba whilst we ask the World Bank for money for our own citizens. I'm very confused.
Yes, I mean, it's astonishing and dumbfounding, right? We go and we loan more than 7 billion rand from the World Bank with all the interest that it accompanies and all sort of the snags that come with it, and then we think we need to pour money into a foreign friend all over on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean.
So, I mean, do they not look at these things, the World Bank, and say, well, hold on a second, why are you asking us for money if you're giving money to other, if those countries need money, let them come to us as well. Why are you giving them money?
Yes, you'd assume they do. I guess the point is, that they probably see the 15 billion going to Cuba as sort of, you know, small change compared to the 7.6 billion rand that they're loaning to South Africa. But I mean, again, the primary responsibility is not at the World Bank, it's at South Africa, it's at the South African government to ensure that they responsibly loan money and give out money.
Mm. The other worry, of course, is how the money will be spent and looked after, given South Africa's corruption history. Are measures generally put in place with this type of thing?
Yes, I mean, they're supposed to, and likely, although it's always shrouded in mystery, these loan agreements, you know, come hell or high water, the government will never disclose the terms of these agreements, despite efforts by a lot of NGOs to get those type of contracts. But they're usually accompanied by, you know, a bunch of requirements and clauses on how the money should be spent and safeguarded, et cetera. But again, it's one thing to say the safeguards are there on paper, and it's a different thing altogether whether the safeguards are actually, you know, enacted and ensured in practice. I mean, we have a wonderful regulatory system in South Africa. We have wonderful legislation, well thought out and well drafted. But the reality is we still see high levels of corruption. We still see rampant looting of state coffers. And that's despite the fact that we have the regulations and the legislation in place. And that's simply because the arm of government that's supposed to ensure that, you know, not necessarily that corruption doesn't take place, but the arm that's supposed to act when corruption has taken place and then ensure justice, the police, they're just simply toothless. For years, we've been hearing about corruption cases that will be going to court, and we haven't seen anything come to fruition.
So what does this mean now in terms of this money flows into the country? Is it generally ring-fenced? Does it just go into general government coffers for them to use as they want, or does it have to be used for very specific circumstances?
Yes. I mean, it's a good question. Again, It's supposed to be ring-fenced, right? It's supposed to go to our COVID-19 emergency response project. So basically to mitigate the effects of, they say COVID-19, I would say the effects of the lockdown to try and protect against COVID-19, which is a bit of a distinction.
Yes,
absolutely. But the money is supposed to go to that. So it's supposed to be spent to ensure, you know, economic activity. It's supposed to uplift the hundreds of thousands of people who really have suffered.
Right, so just there, you could use it pretty much for anything, because every industry, you could say, is impacted by COVID-19. Every school, every hospital, every anything was impacted. There's not anybody in the whole country or world who wasn't. So it is very, very broad.
It is. And it's sort of difficult to say, well, to measure, does it help, right? It's like a lot of government spending. It's one thing to say, well, here's money, but you don't necessarily know what that effect might have been, or could the money have been spent differently? Could it have been spent better? And it's also difficult. The point is, this 7.6 billion grant loan to South Africa is not going to fix anything, right? It's not going to ensure that we do get on the right economic path, because the problem is, this is the easy sort of temporary, I don't want to call it a solution, but the temporary fix. The actual fix is structural reform in South Africa, but the South African government's unwilling to undertake the structural reform, because the point is, what it's going to entail is that there's some austerity measures. It's going to entail curbing government spending. It's going to entail limiting corruption. And the point is, the moment they do that, I think the ANC government realizes it's not going to be a popular thing, right? It's an unpopular thing to say, well, we are going to tackle the massive social grant bill that we have each month in South Africa, and they're going to lose electoral support, and therefore they're unwilling to actually tackle this issue.
Mm. And in a way, it's a bit of a free pass, because it means there's less incentive to actually deal with some of those very, very difficult issues, because the money just comes in.
Yes, no, undoubtedly.
So, and these types of loans, are they really loans? Or do they need to be paid back? Are they ever paid back?
They are supposed to be paid back. I mean, look, whenever we talk about our the loan repayments, it's part of the annual budget. Every time the Minister of Finance goes before Parliament, says, okay, well, this is what we're spending to service our debt. This is what they're talking about. This is the debt that the country owes to various institutions or other countries. So it has an effect. And again, it's similar to, the big problem with debt on a country scale is, when it comes to you personally, the only person who's liable for debt that you might incur in your personal name, say I have a credit card or a personal loan, is me, right? It doesn't affect any of, obviously, sort of certain exceptions if you're married into your property, etc. But
sure.
In general, it only affects you personally. The problem with loans on a country scale is you don't really have to worry about that. It's not this generation's problem. And we're sort of delaying the problem for future generations. It's our kids who are going to have to worry about what to do about this debt. And I think that's why it's so dangerous, but also why it's so attractive, because it's sort of, there's that joke where they say, well, it's future me's problem. Well, this is sort of what we're saying when we take up these loans. We say, well, it's future South Africa's problem.
And in fact, they're obligating each and every person in the country, which yes, obviously yes. is, I mean, nobody asked me about this. Certainly.
Yes, yeah, we didn't vote and say, yeah, well, I want to be settled with this debt. It's strange. I mean, and this sort of now gets to more philosophical questions about consent within a state, right? And how do you get the consent of each individual, and what sort of a construct do we say gave the state the right to, on my behalf, on this massive amount of debt, and to give money to Cuba, and to do a bunch of other silly things.
Absolutely. Daniel Eloff, writer, lecturer, attorney at Hunter Spice, talking to us about the 7.6 billion rand that South Africa has just received or will be receiving from the World Bank. I'd love your thoughts. It's 8:27. Good morning.